Hola and welcome to episode 31 of the Radiant Sessions podcast. I am your host, Lucelenia, and I'm so happy to have you. So thankful for you to be here listening once again to what I have been inspired to share. This week, I want to just share a message of encouragement. We've been talking a lot about healing, which is something that we do around these parts, because the true glow up comes from the inside out. We want our beautiful exterior to be a reflection of who we truly are on the inside. But I would be remiss if I didn't take a moment to pause and just encourage you on your journey, because this healing journey is not easy. And I do my best, and I hope that it resonates with you, to not glamorize it at all. I want people to have a realistic depiction of this healing journey, because I don't want you in my inbox like, but you said no, sis, no, brother, no family. It can get ugly, it can get messy, it can be painful, but it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. But today I want to share something personal for a reason, in hopes that it encourages you the way it encouraged me. So I have mentioned in the past that I struggle with abandonment issues and anxiety and depression, and recently have been diagnosed with ADHD, combined type, all the things. My abandonment issues come from parental stuff, two different places, two different origins, really, because it wasn't just not having a dad. My father actually did not know that he had a child, so he was never really given the opportunity to be there. My mother met him in college in Goshen, Indiana. They had what they had, and she found out she was pregnant on summer break, and my grandparents forbade her from going back to school. And in 1982, they didn't have cell phones, they weren't DMing, they weren't Instagramming, they weren't sending emails, they weren't doing any of that. And you know, I imagine that they both just assumed they would resume whatever they were doing when they got back to school. So they never exchanged information, phone numbers, addresses, the like. So she, you know, decided, well, not really decided, my grandparents decided for her just to, you know, move forward. She said she carried very small, so she was able to be very discreet with the fact that she was pregnant until she popped up with a baby in January of 83. My father, again, didn't know for sure, never got confirmation, but he did hear rumors, because even back then, without the internet, rumors always seemed to be able to get around very easily. Interestingly enough, because he wasn't Puerto Rican, he isn't Puerto Rican, he's from Belize, he encountered a lot of pushback and barriers from people who did know her and could get in contact with her. And so supposed friends of hers wouldn't even pass on that he was trying to reach her. And the school, because of privacy issues, couldn't give him her information so he could reach out and find out for himself. And so, you know, he did everything that he thought to do, and figured, well, if she was pregnant with my child, she would try to find a way to reach out to me. And he didn't hear, so he moved on with his life. But regardless of the fact that that wasn't his fault, and I don't hold him against that, I'm not angry at him for that, because there's nothing to be angry for in that situation, except for the fact that I still grew up without knowing my biological father. My mother, on the other hand, had me at 3 months old. We fly to Puerto Rico. She meets her husband, or her soon-to-be husband, who she has my sister, who is 2 years younger than me, with. They moved to Massachusetts, and at a very, very young age, my mother loves to say that I decided that I was going to go live with my grandparents, even though I was a toddler. Right. And so I was with them up until like the first grade. And I can't say that she didn't visit. I will say I have no recollection of her visiting. No recollection of her coming to see me or my sister, because my sister, who was born in 85, ended up coming to live with my grandparents in Defiance, Ohio, where I was born as well. First grade, I ended up moving to Maryland, me and my sister with my mom. And then fast forward to the end of fifth grade, we moved to Florida with my grandparents, where my mom leaves us there again with them, and I'm with them with my sister until the ninth grade. Come back to my mom in the 10th grade, and I move out at the end of my junior year and have been on my own pretty much ever since. And so anyone who knows anything about child development, they'll tell you that, you know, the whole childhood is important, but early childhood development is very, very crucial for establishing, you know, security, and, you know, all these markers for a child are very, very crucial in the first few years of their life, especially, you know, toddler, because we don't have the emotional maturity or the language capacity to truly be able to communicate what we need. We are completely and utterly dependent on the adults in our lives who care for us. And so my earliest memories of that are of my grandparents raising us, along with two of my male cousins who also live with them in Defiance, Ohio. And now that I'm grown, I realize that I have been carrying those abandonment and feelings of abandonment with me into pretty much every relationship that I have been in. And those issues really take the form of me not feeling worthy of being loved. And because I don't feel worthy of being loved, and being scared that I'm not lovable, it meant that I was scared that even if you said that you loved me, you would end up leaving me, because that's what my mom did. Now, I am fully aware as a 38-year-old woman that my mother not being in my life as a baby, as a child, as a young adult, wasn't really about me. She was and still is on her own journey. Part of that journey is to be a mother to four children. And what she has done with that assignment, she will answer for, and likely is answering for still now. But it doesn't diminish the impact that it had on my life and the message that I received as a result of how I was raised. And so anytime, especially in very intimate relationships, most notably romantic relationships, those anxious feelings arise. And those fears of abandonment start to peek their head up and say, hey, we're here. And any change in routine, any, you know, if that person is going through something and they take a little more space than they normally do, it must be the manifestation of my fears coming true. And it's exhausting. It's exhausting for me, and I can imagine that it's exhausting for the other person. And so I do what I can. You know, I'm in therapy, I read, I journal, I do the shadow work, I meditate, I pray, I cry, I ask God, take it away. I do all the things that I can that I talk about here to try to heal that wound, that very, very core wound that I've been carrying with me my entire life. Just hoping that something I read or something that I hear or something that someone tells me would be the magical thing that would change it all and make it go away. And I could wake up the next day and no longer have this thing, this thorn that I carry with me, that in a lot of ways has either caused me to enter into unhealthy relationships because I overlooked a lot of red flags just because someone stayed around. And then those people who aren't toxic and aren't healthy, in a lot of ways, is this anxiety and fear of abandonment becomes the thing that negatively can impact the relationship and almost become a self-fulfilled prophecy, because I start to push them away and I start to question them, or I start to, you know, show up very insecurely in the relationship. I'm grateful to be in a situation that is very supportive, in a relationship that is very supportive, and we are able to really be vulnerable and transparent with each other, and I can tell him how I feel. And I try to be the same for him, that he can tell me how he feels and how, you know, my fears are rising up and how I'm taking responsibility, but also because we're partners, how he can help me to overcome this fear. And so yesterday, when I was out, and you know, my anxiety isn't always on the same level, my fear of abandonment isn't always on the same level, I do better at certain times than other times. The last month or so, it's been a struggle for various reasons. It's been a real struggle for me, and I won't lie, because of, you know, the new diagnosis, and I am navigating now being on medication and how that's affecting me, and working with the psychiatrist to monitor that, and, you know, how this new diagnosis kind of reframes things that I thought I knew about myself that are still true, but kind of take on a different shade. Let's say if I thought it was purple, maybe it's now lavender. It's not violet. It's still purple, but it's lavender now versus violet, and it's pink versus fuchsia, that kind of thing. And because I've worked so hard on this, it definitely shook me. Again, a lot of times my fear and my anxiety tries to control situations, tries to control what I know, what I think I know, because if I think that I know it, or I do know it, then I can prepare for the worst. I can either control the outcome or prepare for the outcome as best as possible. And often, because it's anxiety, I'm not thinking that the outcome is going to be great. I'm trying to prepare for the worst case scenario. And so I'm taking myself emotionally through a traumatic experience, not knowing whether the experience is going to be traumatic or not. But my fear, which isn't really real, but in my head it feels like it's based on reality, because my thoughts and my body is reacting to a threat that I experienced as a child. And so when I went out yesterday, had a good time playing, just riding scooters through the city, which I love to do now. It's a new fun thing. I'm walking up the steps to my apartment, and as I get near my door, I hear a spirit tell me, "You don't need to keep looking for the fix or the cure to your fear of abandonment. You just need to keep moving through it. Keep moving through the anxiety." And I'm like, "Okay, God, I hear you. Thank you." And the thing is that I realized, like, in that moment, in what happened yesterday evening, is part of what I was doing. I wasn't letting my fear and my anxiety win. So I'd say that to you, whatever it is, because you may not, you probably don't, hopefully, I'm hope that you don't have to struggle with this like I do, but whatever it is that you're stuck struggling with or struggle through it. Don't allow it to keep you stuck, because then it wins. If I let my fear and my anxiety win, that would look like me giving up on myself and giving up on my relationships. Healing doesn't mean that, oh, I'm healed and everything becomes easy. No. I wish it did, but that's not life. That's not people. That's not humanity. But if I continue to use my fear and my anxiety like a security blanket, as if it's protecting me from something, then it just makes it that much harder. Because I'm causing myself pain to try to prevent more pain. Sounds wild, but that's essentially what I've been doing. It's like, I'd rather cause my own pain than allow someone else to cause me pain because of something that I experienced 37 years ago, 38 years ago. Something that I know, again, I experienced it, but it wasn't done to me. in the sense that she victimized me. She was doing what she thought was best for me by leaving me with my grandparents, who took incredibly good care of me and my sister and my cousins, while she struggled to get her life together. She was 20 years old when she had me. Wasn't allowed to finish college, didn't go back to finish after she, you know, had me. She went and got married, had another child, and then as I got older, realized that that person who she married abused her. So she could have been the, you know, oh, well, yeah, I'm gonna have my kids with me. I have no idea what that life would have been like. Well, I won't say I have no idea, because I did live with her for, you know, parts of my life as I got older. Some were better than others. And at the very least, although I didn't have my mom and I didn't have my dad for the reasons that I already explained, I had a childhood with my grandparents that was an actual childhood. It was stable. It was loving. There was structure. We had fun. Like, my grandfather was strict, but I would tell people, like, I know he looks mean, but he really is a huge teddy bear. He would play with us. He, you know, in the summertime, he would chase us with the water hose. He rigged the water hose to be a sprinkler system. He would ride bikes with me and take me across the train tracks to Dairy Queen and get a vanilla cone dipped in chocolate and be like, don't tell your sister, your cousins. And yeah, like, some of my favorite memories are from when I lived with them. And then once I moved with my mom in the first grade, for several years after that, we went back every single summer. And so, as much as, you know, I've struggled with this, I also can look back and say, you know what? I wouldn't trade those years. I wouldn't trade those memories. Quite frankly, the four of us who live with my grandparents, my sister, my two male cousins, we are the only four grandkids out of my entire family that learned to speak Spanish. All the other ones either don't speak Spanish or went to school to try to learn to speak Spanish because they wanted to be able to speak the language. That's a gift, that I'm able to communicate with people from home, when I'm able to communicate with people from all over the world because of that gift that they gave me. They wouldn't allow us to speak English in the house for such a long time until they realized, maybe they need to be able to practice English for school. And so I'm able to reframe those memories and heal those memories and move through it and remind myself that, as opposed to, like, when the anxious feelings come up and trying to fight it and trying to get rid of it, kind of lean into it. Lean into it. What is this anxiety teaching me? Don't, you know, as I'm always saying, honor your feelings and then let it move through your body. Sometimes you might actually need to move your body. Like, literally shake your body, get up and jump, get up and dance, move the energy that you're feeling at that current moment, and do it. When the anxiety comes up, shift your energetic body by moving. But then emotionally, don't sit there. Don't sit in the fear. Feel it. But don't settle there. Don't make it your home. Do not build any more monuments on those feelings. Especially once you've identified me being afraid that everyone is going to leave me is not healthy. It is not helping me. It is not helping me to establish deep connections with people who do love me, who are healthy, who show me continuously that they mean the best for me. All I'm doing is pushing them away and then informing my fear. Oh, you were right. Except my fear did it. And the people who are gone, who are no longer here, aren't supposed to be here. And that is okay too. It doesn't mean that I'm not loved and that I'm not lovable, because I am. So today, tomorrow, I hope this resonates with you. Tell yourself a different story. Move your body. Don't sit in those negative feelings. Move through it. I promise you it will get better. You are loved. You are lovable. You are everything. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being here once again. Please go to the website, www.luzselenia.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Check out some merchandise. And if you haven't already, please go to Apple Music, Apple Podcasts. Leave a review. Let people know why they should listen. And have a great week. Be radiant. Mwah.